and we are live. Welcome to Rugby League World Cup Radio with Winnie and Clarkey, and we are here to quickly recap the second week of Rugby League World Cup matches and look forward to the final round of pool games, which start this weekend. I'm joined every week by Clarkey from Clarkey's Column. And Clarkey, been a pretty good World Cup so far. How are you enjoying it?
Oh, mate, to be honest, I'd watch any sort of footy. I love footy so much. To have footy still on our screens at this time of the year, I think it's a real blessing, and I love it. I love the excitement around the World Cup. There's just something special about whether your team scores, whether your nation, that is, scores, whether they win by 50. There's just a sense of pride that comes with it. I love it.
And it's going to heat up once we get to the knockout phases, but we do have a round of pool games to complete it before then. So for half the teams in the competition, it's going to be the last time we get to have a look at them. Not all the positions are sewn up, but we're going to talk all about that. But one of the key topics of the second week was these massive score lines. Before that, I just wanted to address as well. I was pretty much all right 7 days ago. We did the week two preview. It didn't go as well with my tips. I think after winning 5 out of 5 last week, I came back down to earth and won 3 of 7. But we did win our special bet, which was the Kangaroos and Kiwis to combine for 70 points, which was pretty exciting. They got 74. But then I got struck down by COVID. I was a bit rough way about 6 days ago. So I've had COVID. The only reason I say that, I've still got a tickle in my throat. And it's really annoying because when I'm saying something, it might sound like I'm about to laugh at my own joke, but it's actually just my throat tickling me. And another thing I wanted to mention was it's hammering down with rain where I am, if you can hear that. So, Clarkey, did you have an issue with the blowouts? You know, some people criticise the World Cup and say this is the problem and, you know, these teams shouldn't be playing each other and no one wants to watch that. Do you have an issue sitting down watching, you know, for example, the Kangaroos win 84-0 and in general a lot of non-competitive matches, to be fair?
It's a tough one, and it actually has prompted response. That's why I was looking down while you were speaking. International Rugby League Chairman Tony Grant said that he's just celebrating nations playing and embracing the wonderful talent we have on show, and I'm not concerning myself with the scores, he said. Now, I can definitely understand that perspective. I think everyone in footy should be love having footy on our screens at this time of year. But then there is a genuine concern when we look at the aim of the World Cup, what we're led to believe, and the NRL's focus, as per Peter Vlandy, is just to grow the game internationally. And I do wonder, watching Scotland get smoked 84-0, I do wonder how many Scottish people are sitting there watching that thinking, well, I can't wait for our next game. I can't wait to get into rugby league. And then on the same page, I can't see too many Aussies sitting there and going, what a thrilling matchup. I'm so glad I got up at 5:30. So I can definitely see both sides of the coin. Ultimately, I think something will need to be done in the future. If I can sit on the fence and see both perspectives, I will. But if you want me to give an answer, I will say 4 or 5 World Cups from now, people are going to be evidently very, very sick of blowouts, and there's not going to be much viewership. It's going to be known as a bit of a tri-nations. Pick New Zealand, England, Australia. It's one of those three. It kind of already is at that point. But with the trajectory that we're on, I can see it getting worse. And so I do think they will need to intervene and come up with something. What they do, I don't know. I couldn't answer that. But if I had to give an answer, that'd be my take.
Because as a fan, I mean, I watch every minute of every NRL game. But, I mean, some of these big blowout games, you really can watch the KO or Fox Sports Mini, 20 minutes condensed of a blowout. You're going to see all the tries and you're really not going to miss much because there isn't a lot of tension in between. And look, you can still enjoy the World Cup, and if you've had your multi on or if you've bet the line, you know, Australia covered the 66.5 point line, you'd be excited. New Zealand's line against Jamaica was 70, 72, 74 in places. They didn't cover it. So that is where there can be some excitement still when the result is obviously beyond doubt. Now, some comments coming through. Tonga Sports says, love your work. James says, the blowouts are rubbish. Not much can be done. Dan says, great for the smaller nations going up against the best. That's what you aspire to. And you see players that are going up against their heroes. And that is kind of cool. Brody saying, how can the lower teams get better when they're playing against if they don't play the higher quality and get some harsh lessons? Austin says, wouldn't it be interesting to see another nation get the cup? I don't know if that means to win or to host, but I'm going to throw at you completely unprompted my solution. I'd love to hear your guys' comments about this. All right, would this be a better World Cup? This is my changed up format that I'm throwing mid-World Cup, and I'm saying, would we have had a better World Cup if these were the pools? So if we have, the way I look at it, we have five powerful teams. So why couldn't we have Pool A, the power five, New Zealand, Tonga, England, Samoa. Pool B, put the next tier of countries in, PNG, Fiji, France, Lebanon, Cook Islands. And Pool C, put the emerging nations, Greece, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Italy. Now, I'll just explain this. Obviously, when you have lopsided groups, people are going to say, but how does the knockout stages work? That's not going to be fair. So in my proposal that I've just made up, you can tell I've spent a bit of time thinking about this. Four teams are going to progress from Pool A, so only one is going to get eliminated. I still think that all these Pool A games are going to be important because you don't want to be the one that gets eliminated. So four teams are going to get through from Pool A, and then only the winner of Pool B and only the winner of Pool C are going to get through. I'm going to give a bye to the top two of Pool A as well, so there's extra incentive to go well in your group games in Pool A. You're straight through to a semi, like in the NRL, where you get that bye through to a prelim, opposite sides of the draw. So the top two sides in Pool A are going to get to the semis. If you come third in Pool A, you get rewarded by playing the winner of Pool C, which is going to be an emerging nation. And if you come fourth in Pool A, you get the winner of Pool B, which is a very tough game, whoever would win that Pool B. I just think, look across these pools, Clarkie, you'd have so many competitive games. And another pro would be you don't miss out on any of the big marquee matchups. In this World Cup, we didn't know for sure if we were going to get Tonga Samoa. Like, we will get it in the quarters, but we don't know if Tonga's going to play England or New Zealand or Australia at any point. Don't know if New Zealand's going to play England or Samoa, you know? If you group all the best teams together, you know you're going to get those matches. Your response, Clarky, you haven't seen this before in my idea. Am I crazy? Or would that be a better tournament?
I think it'd be a better tournament through the regular rounds because we're going to get more competitive matchups to watch there. Ultimately, it still leads to the end result because the teams that are going to progress in Pool A from this are still likely to progress in this World Cup. In fact, I believe all five nations that are currently in Pool A there would progress as it currently stands. So I do think that we'll get the same result when it comes to the finals, as in the same nations would be playing, different matchups, albeit. But I do think this leans to a more competitive rounds until we get to the knockout stages, which ultimately I think should be the goal because that still gives you a chance to grow the game. So I do agree with you on what you've put forward here. The reason I would suggest that the World Cup hosts aren't going this way is they kind of want to make it look like this is a World Cup where all these pools are so fair and anyone can win any game. But in reality, we simply know that's just not the case. I mean, if I was to bring up Top Sport right now and have a look at some of the odds for this week, and that's why, of course, we're bringing, when we have them up on the screen, the negative plus markets so we can add context. New Zealand, $1. England, $1. Fiji, $1.01. Kangaroos, $1. Lebanon, $1. The biggest outsiders this round winning is Tonga and PNG at $1.05. So I think the World Cup host should really look at what you're saying. Look at the current mismatches that we're seeing in results and also in betting lines. And potentially to look to implement something like you put forward there. I think that's a really, really great idea.
I just realized I was muted the whole time I was talking there. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I did put a message in the chat there and I was
just going to say I appreciate your thoughts on my format. I think it would lead to a more competitive competition. You might not get the fairy tales in that you might not get like an upset of a, you know, a David versus Goliath, but they're so uncommon anyway. And whoever emerges out of my Group C of emerging nations would still have a chance in the knockout stages against the big boys. Nevertheless, we've got the World Cup we've got, and we did get some magical moments like Jamaica scoring their first ever World Cup try. So before we look forward to the games ahead, let's take a look back, Clarky, your top three performances of week two of the tournament.
I've gone a little bit cheeky here. I've actually given Jamaica a B, which is the same score I gave England and also PNG this round, which a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, it's a bit rubbish there, mate. But I did not see Jamaica scoring a try against New Zealand. I didn't see them get close to scoring a try against New Zealand because they didn't look like scoring the week before, right? And for them to score against New Zealand, I think that is a huge win just in itself. Second one, I'm going to go someone who didn't make my team of the week. And I don't know how he didn't make the team of the week. It's crazy that he didn't. In any other circumstance, this guy would be one of the first picked. And so whilst I do have two wingers ahead of him, I've got to show some serious love to this guy. Brian To'o, 23 runs, 371 meters, 144 of those post-contact. Now, only one forward on his team, Josh Papali'i, ran more meters outright. And Brian To'o had more than all of them besides Papali'i in post-contact, which I just think that's absolutely absurd. I've never seen anything like it. Albeit, I did go Josh Adokar ahead, but my top moment this week would have to be Dellen Watene-Zelezniak. Again, something I've just never seen from a winger. Four tries, three try assists, 279 meters. Here's the craziest thing. He only broke four tackles. So he literally had more try involvements than he had tackle breaks. Again, I've never seen that in the NRL. Seven line breaks, something I've not seen. I don't know what to say. It could possibly be the best performance by a winger that I've ever seen. So yeah, Jamaica scoring, DWZ, and Brian To'o with the post-contact meters. There are my three big moments from the week.
One of the reasons I muted myself is because the rain's really coming down now, so hopefully it's not too distracting, the background noise. But Watene-Zelezniak, he had a hand, or he scored multiple tries in that first half in helping us win our special bet on Top Sport, because we needed 70 combined first half points between the Kangaroos and the Kiwis. Well, the Kangaroos did their part. They scored 40 points in the first half against Scotland. They had 40 with 35 minutes gone, so they could have even had more. So we just needed 30 points from New Zealand. Bloody Kieran Foran was taking the conversions. He misses four of his first six kicks, and New Zealand only had 28 points with a minute to go in the half. So luckily, Watene-Zelezniak, the man you mentioned, made a break down the right wing, kicked in field. Marshall King was just onside, bobbled the put down, but did just cling onto it and get New Zealand over the line, which also hit the first half bet that I'd shared last week. But most importantly, that special on Toppy for a double up there. So that was pretty exciting. And later in the second half, Watene-Zelezniak, he had a bad cramp, wasn't it? And he basically collapsed, but then the ball came back his way. So he had to get up, catch it and score another try. So my favourite performance is Fiji. After being comprehensively beaten by the Kangaroos, to come out and put 60 on an Italy side that looked good in week one, you had to take notice of that. Lebanon, for the second week in a row, really impressive. You were right about that game, Clarkie, and I think you had Lebanon progressing, where I had Ireland, and Ireland were the favourites in that game against Lebanon, but they were second best. Lebanon without Dewey, in the end, his suspension was not overturned. We've got to mention Samoa. You obviously talked about To'o there, but to bounce back from getting beat by 60-odd or 60-odd put on you to put 70 on the next week, understanding the opponent, but still. And what about your favorite nation, or your second favorite nation, PNG? They're just so physical, and they blew the Cook Islands away in the second half this morning when it was only 10-8 at halftime. Before we go through the games, we've got some tips. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not about to laugh. Sorry, it's just my throat giving me grief. One final word on the second round of games, and then a look forward to the upcoming matches from the bookie perspective, thanks to Top Sport.
Hunters, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we're into the final week of group stage football in the Rugby League World Cup. And it looks like there's been a bit of normality in the games that have just gone. The Aussies and the Kiwis both won comfortably. The Aussies covering the spread, which actually came back towards the plus when there was a little bit of wet weather around just before the game started, but the Aussies were way too good there. And then Jamaica scored their first try in World Cup history just to thwart the Kiwis' attempt of covering that line. Probably the closest betting game of the prior round was a Lebanon-Irish game where Ireland were very, very well backed early in the piece, and then there was a push back towards Lebanon just as the game started. So, but that was a very competitive betting contest, and Lebanon too good, which should see them proceed through to the next round. Just looking at a few of the games that we've got on the agenda for the last phase of group betting, where New Zealand have been well backed to cover the spread against Ireland. It's been 41.5 out to 43.5. I guess this is a week where you've got to consider whether the teams are there just to finish off their campaign or they're going to put in for the full 80 minutes. That's going to be an interesting one to review. The other minus that's been well backed has been Fiji against Scotland. It's moved by 2 points in Fiji's direction. Actually, the Italian Kangaroos line is actually firm from 72.5 into 71.5. There's been a little bit of support for Italy at the plus, but probably the line where, you know, you've got to have question marks over the team's desire might be the Jamaican side, where it's moved from 40.5 out to 41.5. Lebanon, everything to play for. They'll be looking to put up a big number, and they have been maybe after Jamaica scored their opening try of the World Cup, maybe they feel like they've achieved what they've come out to do. So looking forward to the batch of games on this weekend. Then we get into the real big matches, which I think is going to have a different focus. So good luck if you're having a punt over the weekend, and make sure you gamble responsibly.
So the first game of the final round robins is New Zealand, Ireland, and New Zealand are 44.5 point favourites. Clarkie, how do you see this one?
Yeah, so New Zealand coming off a 68-6 win and Ireland coming off a loss 32-14, but they were favourites in that. I think New Zealand will cruise to another victory here. I think that could be 50-plus. I'm pretty confident on that, actually. There's some big, big movements here that I really like. One is Jerome Hughes returns. Jared Waria-Hargraves returns. Britt Nakora moves to the centres. Now, I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. If it was at NRL level, I think so, but it almost helps having a bigger body out there. And speaking of bigger bodies out wide, we have Nelson Asafa-Solomona going to back row, which I just think is horrible for Ireland players that might not be full-time players. I think that's a horrible thought, trying to stop him on an edge. I think Ireland's best forward this World Cup has been Jamin Jolliffe. He is out suspended. He's been averaging about 150 metres in the middle and 30 or so tackles. That's a lot of extra work. And we're not talking about that work being picked up by another person who's been playing Queensland Cup the whole time, raring for an opportunity at first grade. That workload is going to be picked up by someone who's a part-time player from Ireland, potentially. And that's a big ask to come into a World Cup and make those sort of tackles and run metres against someone like Jared Waria-Hargraves, etc. Injury news for New Zealand, they will miss Nia Corre and Moses Leota. I don't think they will miss them too much. They've definitely got the coverage there that they require. And Ireland, I mean, they know as it currently stands, their World Cup's over. They had their moment. They got a win over Jamaica. Awesome for them. But they got to know, right? Their World Cup's over. And so I can't see anything but a New Zealand flogging here. I think 44 points is too generous. If that line was at 56, I'd still take it. So I'll definitely take that at minus 44.5. That's my tip for this one.
Well, New Zealand haven't covered a line yet because against Lebanon, they only won by just over 20. And then even last week, as I said, they beat Jamaica as comfortably as you like, 60-something in it. But the line was in the 70s. Now, you've mentioned the team list. What about Dylan Brown? Did I see he also returns to the Kiwis?
I have. That's a big Dylan Brown, we're back.
Did you mention that? Yeah,
I didn't mention it there. But
and Mulatalo as well didn't play last week. I saw his name. So they're strengthening up, right? Obviously, like, want to tune up for the finals. And one of the reasons they probably didn't cover the line like last game was because it was a bit of makeshift halves. It was a 4.5 back. Not that Joey Manu who can't play anywhere, but he was in the halves there. So I'm looking at New Zealand with these. Yes, and the goal kicking is a big issue. When you want to cover these big lines, you're taking a lot of shots at goal. It makes a big difference. So I'm not sure who's going to replace Foran in that regard, but just about anyone would be better. Ireland, very disappointing last week. And at this point in the tournament, you wonder what they've got left in the tank. I've got a tip from the Podonis as well to share on this game. So I'll play what he's got to offer here, and then you can share any final thoughts you might have on this matchup.
Hey guys, Podonis here, looking forward to the final week of pool action before the business end kicks in. And the two tips I like this week, the first one I'll share is the New Zealand Kiwis to beat Ireland. The best price on that at the moment is -42.5 by Bet365. I think Sportsbet have 43.5 as well. As long as we can get under the key of 44 there. We were on a Holland last week for all those who followed. Apologies, it was a disappointing watch. They were never in it against Lebanon. They were disappointing. I think in the aftermath of that showed where they're at the moment. Their forward leader and Liam Byrne suspended for this one. So I do think they're going to struggle to match what the Kiwis can produce. And I think that for the Kiwis, there's a couple of players still fighting for spots for the later rounds. Overwhelmingly, they've been, you'd call it disappointing, just flying low so far in the tournament, haven't really put aside a way or put together a consecutive 80 minutes. Jerome Hughes comes back, so whilst he might not hit the ground running, hasn't played for 6 weeks since Melbourne got knocked out in week two of the finals in the NRL, but he's only going to improve the side with Dylan Brown. It's their best halves combo. Hargraves comes back, which strengthens their forwards. And I just see too much points for them, and I can only see the line climbing. So that's the only way that I could look there.
I like that one. I'll agree with the Podonis as well. Sounds like we all agree New Zealand to cover the line, and best line you can get is -42.5, 1.365. You heard there. Anything else on that one, Clarkey? We're going to move to England, Greece.
Didn't know Liam Byrne was out for Ireland as well. That makes me even more. And please don't give Kieran Foran the goal kicking too. Just don't do it. I mean, I shared you the video on Facebook. He's missed from in front before.
Oh, I saw it last week. England, Greece, the line is 66.5. What are you looking forward to most in this one?
Oh, this is a tough one. That's such a big line, right? And, you know, we're almost talking a point, just under a point a minute at that point. England are coming off a win over France of 42-18. They were clinical in that game. They were obviously very clinical against Samoa. We can't deny that at all. Greece coming off a massive loss, 72-4 to Samoa. I mean, this is a tough one. I kind of do like Greece at that plus mark, but why I'm going that way is I don't have any firm evidence. It's just an opinion that England might take their foot off the throat and cruise through this one, knowing they're already top of their pool and big official weight in the knockout stages. But again, that's just my personal take. So I don't really feel too comfortable tipping it because let's say England know, hey, who cares if we're through? Let's send another message. Let's go and smash Greece as much as we can. I don't know. My gut feeling says they'll let their foot off a little bit. Much bigger games ahead, much more important games, but I can't say firm enough to tip it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a balance between knowing how important the next game is and it'll be a tough one and all likelihood England will play Papua New Guinea. But then do you rest your best players or do you want to keep working on combinations and do you use an opportunity like this as like an opposed session basically to sharpen up before the game next week? So it kind of depends on the mentality. Mentality is everything because we saw what was Samoa's mentality. Theirs was redemption when they played Greece and we saw when a true elite side or a side with elite talent plays a side of, you know, that's next level, second tier kind of country, that if the favourite is motivated, they can win by as much as they want to. And so Greece were beaten by more than this line, by Samoa. Whereas England got a pretty competitive match themselves. They were leading 18-0 against France, but France pulled it back to 18-12 at halftime. So that might be a blemish that England wants to get right of switching off there in the final 15 minutes of the first half. England came back out second half and regained control in that one. And France is a stronger side than Greece too, which is fair to say. So it is a really tough one. I don't have a strong opinion on it either. But if I had to, I probably would lay the massive lumber. I think England will win by a big score because I think Greece are another side that we don't know what they'd have left in the tank for this tournament. And it's just pretty hard to foresee it being competitive. We've got another game, as nearly all of them are, with massive lines. This is back to Pool A, where Fiji plays Scotland and Fiji are a 41.5 point favourite. Who do you like, Clarkey, with the start?
Fiji coming off a win against Italy, 60-4, and Scotland coming off an 84-0 loss to Australia. Fiji did look fantastic in their last game. There's no denying that. It was a great, great win over Italy, where I think I actually last show I gave a tip Italy plus 16 and a half. So that was obviously horrible. Not even close.
I was with you. Yep.
Yeah.
My first official tip I got wrong this World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, I can only apologize for that. I thought Italy would be a lot more in that. It was a shocking tip in the end. And for that reason, I think I doubted Fiji a little bit coming off their loss to Australia, which maybe I shouldn't have been making such a big read into that, because Australia, as we know, are right up here in terms of this World Cup. So the fact that Fiji look to have found their groove now, I know I've got such a small sample size. I've got one loss, which I'm not going to include, and I've got one really great win by them, which I'm going to go off. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them at that line of minus 41 and a half. Scotland against Australia. And again, I know I'm kind of breaking my rule here because I'm comparing them with Australia, which I said I wouldn't do against Fiji, but they couldn't go anywhere. Their forward pack was utterly dominated. Every single tackle winning on their back. So they got to get up hands and knees, slow play the ball, dragged backwards. Fair dinkum, unless of like silly penalties by Australia, they could not get out of their own 40. They couldn't do it. And Fiji do have quite a big dominant forward pack. They've got some really great experienced forwards there. So putting all of that together, I'm going to take Fiji here to cover that line. I can see them winning by 42 points.
And if you draw the form line, you're going to look at the common opponent being Italy for these two. And when Scotland played Italy, they lost by 22 points. And when Fiji played Italy, they won by 60. So if you do the rugby league math there, you're going to say Fiji's about 80 points better than Scotland. It never actually works that way. In fact, sometimes you get a rock, paper, scissors scenario. Now, I won't go that far and say Scotland could be live for the upset, but I am going to go the other way and say, after being humiliated pretty much two straight weeks, that I do think the Scottish side will play for pride in this one, and I do think Fiji could have one eye ahead, knowing their next opponent is New Zealand, and that's the match that defines their World Cup. Not that they can necessarily upset the Kiwis, but that's the game that they need to give the best account of themselves. So, again, does Fiji rest a star or two in this one? They certainly could. So I actually would take the plus 41.5. I'll go head-to-head with you, Clarky. You got the better of me a couple of games we disagreed on last week. Ireland-Lebanon, I mentioned. And the other one we disagreed on last week was PNG Cook Islands, which that took place, is that yesterday morning? I think yesterday morning. And you were right, PNG, they did get the job 13 plus. But again, I'll take you on here. I'm going to say Scotland doesn't get totally obliterated for the third straight week. But it's still very possible that it could happen. But I will take the points in that one. Next game is our country, Australia. And we are playing, the Kangaroos are playing Italy. So it's the other game in Group A. And the Kangaroos, as Tristan said, are 71.5 point favourites. So that's a massive line. Just spoke earlier about how they beat Scotland by 84. Clarkie, do you think they can cover this monster line that's now in the 70s?
Geez, going off recent form, you'd say yes. I have to have I don't know. Again, it's a huge line. New Zealand's last week was up on the 70s mark, and it's just such a big amount to cover because it's literally almost a point a second. You only need to hold the ball as Italy for 20 sets and get a nice kick away and defend your line half of those, and you cover a 70-point line. Australia coming off an 84-0 win, as I said, and Italy coming off a 54-point loss. The other component here for Australia and why we could see them at their absolute best is not only the pride of playing for Australia in the finals, but I'm not sure too many people know, there's actually a big incentive financially for Australia. Every game you pull on the Kangaroos jersey is $30,000. And so if you were to play your best against Italy here, have a great game, let's use Nathan Cleary for the example, and he beats out Daly Cherians for the halfback jersey, which I think he will. That's a matter of $90,000 over the last three games there in the World Cup. That's returning home from an overseas work holiday in the World Cup with a new car or a new house deposit for your parents or a beautiful holiday with your family, wherever you want around the world for the rest of the year. $90,000 is a lot of incentive for players to step up and play their best if playing for your country wasn't already enough. Look, they beat Scotland by 84 points. I'll say yes. I will take that line. I'll say yes. I, I mean, I've just not used to dealing with lines this big, Winnie. 71.5 up. I'll take it.
It's hard. It's one of these ones. You said a point a second. It feels like that sometimes, but yeah, it's like a point a minute. It is like a try every 5 minutes, and at least if Nathan Cleary is kicking goals, you're more likely that they will be converted. Now, on that note, we don't actually have the final Kangaroos 1-17, do we?
I might be able to get that for you.
Let us know if that's been released, because that's going to factor in too. You're going to see the mentality depending on, is Mal still playing with combinations? Is he still trying to give everyone a fair audition? Or is he starting to hone in on his best 17 ahead of the finals? Because I haven't seen the final team picked. What have you seen?
Ahead and done when he's named them in alphabetical order, which I hate.
And is that a 17? 1-17?
No, it's in alphabetical order. And as we know, the jersey numbers mean nothing. So Burton, right. RCG, Carrigan, DCE. I could read out everyone, but it doesn't matter because we don't know.
And ultimately, even if they don't pick their strongest 17, sometimes that means the players play hungrier. You get players like Jack Wyden that every time they catch the ball, they want to run over people and they want to put their name forward.
Why are we playing smokes and mirrors? Just name the 17, Mal. We're not even $1.01. We're $1.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I'm used to the NRL where everyone names their team on a Tuesday and you can look at the team list. But with this World Cup, I'm only seeing the official teams come out like 24, 48 hours ahead. Yeah. Australia's been all right.
But even when I'm posting my page, when 24 hours in advance, you can change it up until an hour before kickoff when you must submit your final thing. And, you know, when these games start at 3 a.m., I've got to imagine you've got to be a pretty hardcore fan to be getting up at 2 a.m. to get the final team list, right?
Yes, and that factors in if you're betting try scorers. And I meant to say this a couple of games ago. You made the point about Big Nelson. I want to shout out Benny's Best Bets, Ben Williamson, who tips in the tripod group. I did see in a chat I'm in with him tipping Nelson to score a try. I mean, if you know that Nelson is playing second row against a side like Ireland, he can barge over from anywhere. But you'd be fair to say that I think it was $3.40 to score a try. So shop around for that, Big Nelson. But on an edge, even if he's there 20, 30, 40 minutes of that game, he's a fair shot of crossing the line against Ireland. Back to this Australia game. Ultimately, I don't have a strong, confident tip on this one because I just think the Aussies can name their score. Like, they can cover it if they want to, but it's up to them how desperate, how ruthless are they going to be. With Italy, I've got one other question to throw at you because I was disappointed, as I said, in them last week a little bit. I thought they could be competitive with Fiji, but they were way off the pace. I guess the writing was on the wall when Italy beat Scotland and we took notice and we said Italy looked good against Scotland. And Fiji, you know, were held in check against Australia. And then when Australia won 84-0, that was before Italy played Fiji. You probably could have realised then, what does that Italy win over Scotland really mean when you see the difference? And sure enough, Italy beat by 60. But my question is, why has Cooper Johns not gotten a run yet? I mean, he might not be a star by NRL standards, but still a guy that played multiple games for the Melbourne Storm last year and can't get in this Italy side unless he gets picked in this one. I don't know if you heard any mail on that. I'm just curious because he's one of the few players that we're familiar with in the Italian side.
So he actually withdrew with no notice about a week before, and it appeared as a one-liner on the NRL website saying that Italy would be without star halfback Cooper Johns, who was withdrawn for personal reasons. So it wasn't really public news anywhere. It was just one line on the NRL website. I'm guessing a lot of people missed that. The only reason I saw it is because I do Around the League every day, so I'm reading every sentence. But, I can see why a lot of people would be exactly wondering that, because I was wondering the exact same.
And that's why we've got you here, one of the many reasons. Now, look, maybe he couldn't afford to get injured at a World Cup when he hasn't got a contract. You know, I could actually respect that. On the other hand, I thought what an opportunity it would have been for him to showcase and get to be handed the keys to this Italian side. It's a little bit of a shame we don't get to see that. I know his brother Jack did play for Italy in the 2017 World Cup. Let's move on to the next game. Lebanon played Jamaica. Lebanon off that impressive win last week over Ireland. They're 41.5 point favourites, which is pretty massive for Lebanon. Opened the tournament 40-point underdog. In this one, a 40-point favourite, Clarkie.
Yeah, I'll get to this in 1 second, but a keynote on what we were saying of Cooper Johns that I really want to add for people listening, because I find this quite interesting. So if you don't have an NRL club that you're contracted to, and he did his, I won't curse him, but if he got some form of injury in this World Cup, it's actually not covered by the Australian Rugby League Commission. So therefore, let's say he did a serious injury, not only would he be liable for the medical costs, because a small nation like Italy wouldn't cover it, it also, as you said, could play with his future employment potential. Lebanon coming off a 32-14 defeat, beating Ireland of that score, and Jamaica coming off a 62-point loss to New Zealand. As I did say in this one, I thought Lebanon were a good chance last week, but I also thought that was under the proviso that Adam Dwyer was playing. As we saw, he didn't end up playing and they won anyway, which is really impressive. And Mitchell Moses really stood up. Now that Adam Dwyer does return, I can see them covering that line. I can really see them covering that line, because you think Jamaica in their first game didn't show too much. Last week, they did score against New Zealand. And to me, that's as high as it's going to get in their World Cup. I don't want to crap on them too bad, but I wouldn't be shocked if they don't score again in this game. I came into the round one predictions with you, Winnie, and I said Jamaica won't score this World Cup, which is really unfortunate. I was wrong. They proved me wrong. They scored once. But I don't see them scoring against Lebanon, and therefore I could see Lebanon scoring 8-10 tries against them. They've got a great goal kicker in Mitchell Moses. I think that line's very, very achievable for Lebanon. One final chance to really come into the finals with momentum, get all their combinations clicking, because Lebanon are a nation where realistically their depth isn't so good that it's people vying for spots. It's more so, hey guys, let's have one more great game here against Jamaica, and let's ensure that our combinations are clicking. We've got that cohesion chemistry, and we've got a bit of momentum as we come into the knockout stages. That'd be my take there. So yeah, I'll take Lebanon at the minus line for this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we're going to build that into our special creative custom market available on TopSport this week, which is our World Cup mixed matchup, where we will be tipping Lebanon to score more points than Fiji this weekend. So they don't play each other. They don't have to. It's just however many points each of those countries score. We do need Lebanon to score more points than Fiji. So not the same number. That would lose. That would be a tie. But we won last week. We've won 60% of these over the last 2 years, and that is $2.15 on TopSport. And my logic is that Lebanon's opponents are getting easier every week. So you get the baptism of fire, you play New Zealand. Then you play against Ireland. You're an underdog. Dwyer didn't even play, as you said, but you still win. So what a confidence boost that is. And that really shows this team is the real deal in terms of kind of that second tier of countries below the true contenders, but below the power five. And then you get the boost of Dwyer back. We should say they're locked in pretty much to play Australia next week. So you kind of know what's coming. You know that that's where the road ends next week. This is your last game to play with a bit of flair. I also like taking a team to score a lot of points against Jamaica, because I think it's going to be a high risk, high variance type of game. If anyone didn't catch Jamaica, New Zealand, I really admired the fact that Jamaica thought, well, the best chance we've got to stop New Zealand scoring is stop them getting the ball. They knew they'd be kicking off a fair few times against the Kiwis. They went short every kickoff, and they did regather some. And some they didn't regather, and suddenly New Zealand was on their 40 and attacking them again. But what's the difference, really? Like, it's hard to stop New Zealand from their own 20 or your own 40 or your own try line, really, when the line is, you know, 75 points. So I think Jamaica in a line in a match where the line is over 40 again could do that high risk, high reward style again. Maybe it does lead to a try. Good on them if it does, but it's also going to lead to more opportunities to Lebanon, and they've got real NRL talent. And I want to go back to your team of the week, because another guy that was outstanding and he is a true star, and maybe in a couple of years' time is one of the stars of the NRL, could be a guy who's got the same name as me, but far younger, far better looking, Jacob Carrats, and he could light up the Jamaicans in this one. So that's why I like Lebanon with the line as well. I agree with you, and that's why we've built in Lebanon to outscore Fiji. Now, go back to what I said about the Fiji-Scotland game. I'm predicting Scotland, actually, who I'm considering kind of like a pseudo-home team, because there's still going to be home fans, and there's still kind of UK conditions for them. that they don't want to go out with a whimper. They will have the motivation to fight hard and to fight for the full 80 and to not give Fiji too much too easily. So I think they can restrict the Fijians hopefully maybe below 40 points, and that's the kind of number that I think Lebanon can eclipse for us at $2.15 on Top Sport. If you like that one, you can use the code TRIPOD. Next game is Tonga Cook Islands, which could be the most competitive of the lot for this week. Clarkie, how do you see it?
Oh, I actually don't see this one being too competitive, if I'm honest. And I straight away, I'm going to say I love that 26-point line. Now, there's two key components as to why I feel that way. Number one, it's a short turnaround for Cook Islands. Now, they're playing on Monday, and their last game was yesterday. Maybe the time, I don't know if I'm seeing that right. That seems like a short turnaround, right? I mean, they played yesterday. That gives Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days until they're playing again. So I think that that's going to be a factor. And it's not like they played Wales. I mean, they played PNG, the toughest team you can play. They know how to whack those boys. So it's a short turnaround. Tonga have still not found their groove, even over Wales. They were 100-1 favourites, the commentators said. You'd expect a more dominant scoreline. But this week, they will have Jason Thomalolo, Will Hopewadi, Moses Suli. They're all expected back, as is Saliva Harvili. And there's another player which escapes my mind, which could come back. It's not locked in. I believe when you look at this and just the fact that Jason Tamalolo is going to be there and the experience, and he's their captain, and he's the one that started all of this success in recent years for them by leaving New Zealand to play for them, I think they're really going to step up. I think they're going to find their groove here. Isaiah Katoa as well is expected back, their young half. I think they look a lot better with him there. So there's a lot of reasons to love Tonga in this matchup, just off the back of players coming back. And if I cast my mind back a few years ago in the NRL, in the International Nine, sorry, Cook Islands defeated Tonga. It was a big shock. Maybe that's going to sit with Tonga and they're going to want to come out and get one back here over the Cook Islands. With so many stars returning, I think it's a game they can definitely win and cover that line comfortably, I believe.
Now, as I said before, most of the positions in the final eight got pretty much decided last week, but this group, that's not the case, because the Cook Islands are a competitive side, and if they were to upset Tonga in this one, they still have opportunity to get through. So you can kind of see from Cook Islands' perspective, they've been very respectable so far this tournament. They can throw everything they've got at Tonga and try and go for the upset, but I'm looking at Tonga and I'm thinking that they know they're playing Samoa in the round of eight or the quarterfinals. Are they looking for a dominant display? Are they looking to get through their gears a little bit before this big one? So you're talking about some of those key positional players coming back. I think this could be a good opportunity for them. We've got another tip. Podonis is weighing in on this one. I don't think he agrees with us on Tonga, but let's have a listen.
And the second bet that I like this week is the Cook Islands. I think they're going to stay fairly competitive against Tonga, who's one of the powerhouses for the tournament. And I think it's more of a play on the Cook Islands than against Tonga, because I do respect how good they are, but I think the Cook Islands have surprised quite a few people so far, and they've been one of the better teams to watch, even though they were up against it in that pool against two dominant forces there in PNG and Tonga. Now this week, I think the Cook Islands, they're plus 27.5, which is widely available. And the other reason I'm going to take this number as well is, whilst I do expect Tonga to win and be too good, I look ahead to next week and I think it's a pretty big look-ahead spot for Tonga when they've all but got a clash against their arch-rival Samoa in the quarterfinals. So I think it might be a case of Tonga just doing enough to get through, preserving themselves for that fixture. And the Cook Islands have been great all tournament, so there's no reason to believe that they won't apply themselves here. And I just think the line's way too big, and I can probably see it closing around maybe 23, 24, and definitely coming down from where it is now. So good luck if you agree, and gamble responsibly.
Is that right, Clarkie? Did you say you'd play the minus with Tonga, or did you say you agree kind of the Podonis that that's a big line?
No, I've got to disagree with that. I don't think Cook Islands have been too impressive this World Cup, because against Wales, they were only one pass away from beating them. They did muck up that
part. Or it would have tied. Wouldn't it?
Sorry, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry.
Yep.
They were a chance to tie if they kick. Let me rephrase that. They came very close to potentially losing against Wales as dollar and 15 cent favourites. And then last week they lost 32-16 to PNG. But their last try came quite late, if I remember correctly. And it was almost at a stage where PNG had switched off a little bit. The Cook Islands' final try was in the 77th minute. So you take
what about the Cook Islands' second try? Was that Anthony Jelling, where he didn't put it down? Yes. Yeah. So I take your point there that the scoreline may be misleading, that they were closer to PNG than they truly were. PNG also got a sin bin in the first half that pulled the game closer together too.
I mean, yeah, you take away, like you said, those points there. We're looking at a 32-4 win for PNG. Completely dominant. They should have done a lot better against Wales in the first round there. So I can't agree with that one. I don't think Cook Islands have impressed me too much this World Cup. They've had some great moments, no doubt. But overall, over an 80-minute performance with the amount of confidence that Tonga are going to be having, the fact they haven't quite found their groove yet, it's not as if they can really rest on their laurels and go, oh, well, we're through. We've got Samoa next week, because they haven't really played a good game yet. They're still trying to find that momentum. They need to build it. I think this is a game where they can definitely build that momentum.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Tonga were about this magnitude of a favourite in the opening game against PNG, and that was only a 6-point game. And then they were, a week ago, 33-point favourites against Wales. But within a day, that line was up in the 40s, but they didn't end up covering it. In fact, if you watch the Tonga-Wales game, Tonga scored kind of back-to-back tries. Dave Fifita just gets to the line and it gets awarded a try, and then Kolo Matangi in just before halftime that changed the game. They were actually losing before that point. And then they took control in the second half. But you're right. So it's a tough one. And Pedonis makes a point that I made earlier. It's like, is a team going to not show everything they can do and just cruise because they've got their eyes on next week? Or are they really going to want to flex their muscles to be, you know, in prime form next week? And we don't know the answer to that. It's a mentality thing. And it's part of what you're trying to calculate in your mind when you're assessing these games, and especially if you are punting on them. A couple more to cover. Samoa, France. And Samoa, a 27.5-point favourite. So a very similar line to what we've just discussed with Tonga. Which way do you see this one, Clarky?
Yeah, Samoa coming off a 72-4-point win over Greece, and France coming off a 42-18-point loss. This game here will determine who moves forward in that pool. Both have one win. I can't remember who France beat, sorry, off the top of my head, but they do have Greece. A win. Okay, they beat Greece, yep. And Samoa beat Greece. England's already at the top of this pool, but second place does progress. So this determines that. I think after last week showing Samoa in a great spot to progress here, you have to imagine that they're riding with confidence after that win. You know, they went back to the drawing board after a devastating loss, and they recovered really, really well. Jerome Luai was involved in everything. My tip for this game, I'm not too sure about the line there, just because there's such mixed form for Samoa. There's a huge loss and a huge win. But given this is a must-win game for Samoa to progress, I'm going to throw up a try scorer if he's named in the team sheet. I expect he will be. And I expect you're probably guessing who I'm going here, because this guy always seems to score in big games. He was my tip in the grand final to score this year as well. He was my tip in the grand final the year before that when he got an intercept from Cody Walker against the Rabbitohs. I'm going to go Stephen Crichton. I'm not too sure how much odds will be there. If it's $1.80 above, I like it a lot. But if it's somewhere down like $1.30-ish or something, I wouldn't take it. But if there's a bit of value there, Stephen Crichton seems to always score in those big games. But yeah, price depending. That's my tip for this one, Winnie.
And people have to wait, obviously, until team list, because I was just looking quickly, but I don't think anyone's offering anytime price scorers. Yeah, but Stephen Crichton, absolute superstar, always a decent shot of scoring, especially in a big win, which this one should be on paper. Certainly if Samoa, you know, continue riding that wave, they're going to remind people that it's a long tournament. And I keep saying this, you know, they were written off after getting smashed in the opening game of the tournament. But regardless, we kind of knew they're going to get through and they're going to get another crack at some of these big countries. They're going to get Tonga next week, which is just mouthwatering. And then maybe a redemption against England in a World Cup semi-final. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves because France, I think, will be a genuine competition for them here. They've got a lot of players that play in the top, if not the second tier, in the professional competition in UK, right? And they look like a professional outfit to me. And I thought they did keep that game close against England, and there was a back-breaking intercept try by England in that second half where France were applying the pressure and could have scored. And instead, Dom Young took it the other way and kind of cracked the game open. So, and in saying that, they still covered the lines. So I actually think France might do that again. I'll lean to the French plus the 27.5 in this one, funnily enough, because I think they're a totally different class to Greece. So just because Samoa flogged Greece, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be able to repeat it again in this one. There's Luai for two tries.
And I'm just going to remind people too, for this French side, Trent Robinson is involved with this nation. He's their director of football. He's not coaching, but certainly having him around training to give those tips and pointers. And another thing I noticed, the commentators said in their loss to England that this is the difference between part-time players and full-time players. Only one player in this French squad doesn't play full-time professionally in a top tier in either France or the Super League. So we're dealing with a side that does play professionally full-time, all bar one player in their squad. When we look at this game against Samoa.
That's why I would actually lean with the handicap, even though like your typical NRL followers may not know any of the players' names. But we know a few of the PNG players, and they play Wales in the final pool match. And PNG are 24.5-point favourites. And I believe if you look at both these sides, their opening two matches, both have covered both their games. So in terms of the handicap, if you took PNG, you covered in the first game, and they won, as we know, they beat the Cook Islands by the start last game. And Wales have been underdogs in both their matches and lost both, but keeping them both within the handicap. Can they do it a third time, Clarkie?
This one's really tough for me to tip. This one's probably one of the toughest this round. PNG coming off a 32-16 win over Cook Islands. Wales coming off a 32-6 point loss to Tonga. I think PNG have shown that they are probably on another level this World Cup to Wales. Particularly, you think they were, had some unlucky calls against Tonga, but they were in that game for all of it. And then they were impressive last week against Cook Islands, where the line was, I think they had to win by 14 or something. Right. And they did cover that, I believe, in the end. So they've been impressed me this World Cup, but I think 24, that's more than four converted tries they would need. I definitely think they're capable of it, and I do love PNG, so I'll go ahead and tip that line. I think that they could win this by more than four tries. Wales haven't shown too much this World Cup, and even their captain, I mean, he's a firefighter in Wales. He's not quite a full-time player. I'm just going back to their results. Yeah, they lost 26 points last week to Tonga, and in round one, Wales lost 12-18 against Cook Islands. Yeah, they were in that one. It was close. Mm-hmm. PNG did just beat Cook Islands comfortably. Was it comfortably enough to justify a 24-point line? I don't know. I'm really on the fence for this one. I don't think I can give an official tip, but my heart is leaning with PNG to cover that line. But not an official tip, guys. Please don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I don't have an official tip on this one either, but the way I would execute it would be that if Wales can keep it close, I think it's more so in the first half. I think that PNG is such a physical side. And in the same way that they overwhelmed the Cook Islands this morning and blew them off the park in the second half, we could see that happening in this game. So I would take like a plus 10.5 first half with Wales rather than a 24.5 for the full game, because my logic is if they're down two converted tries or more at halftime, I'm not feeling confident at all they're going to keep it within 24 anyway. I think it's all about strong start. And then I do think ultimately they're not going to be able to match the physicality of PNG, and PNG will just be relentless for 80 minutes. It's what we've seen out of them in the previous two games, this competition, and PNG will win it comfortably with a strong second half. So alternatively, if you like PNG, maybe you play the PNG second half line and you might try and find a minus 13.5 for the second half. So that would be my advice for how to execute that. You can check out any tips that I do post up in the Tripod group. But thanks again, Clarkie. That was our preview of completing the group stages. So we'll be back 7 days from now to preview the knockout rounds, which will be really exciting as well. It'll be less footy to talk about, but some even bigger games. If anyone's having a punt, of course, do it responsibly. Enjoy all the action. Let us know your thoughts, anything you agree or disagree with, or any tips you've got. Clarkie, anything else to sign off with?
Thanks for tuning in. Listeners, any further questions, reach out to my Instagram at Clarkie's RL column. Any questions regarding the games? And if not, I'll see you guys in the match post. And if not, I'll see you in the Tripod Facebook group. Talk all the bets there.
Cheers, Clarkie. Enjoy the footy, mate, and I'll talk to you next week.
Cheers, Winnie.